Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the power of Christ. May we put all of our hope on Jesus, the solid rock. Be with Brother Cal this morning as he brings the word to us. Open our hearts that we would be changed by it so that we can go out into the world and to be the light, to be your kingdom. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We have two special groups with us today. Our adult and teen challenge guys are back with us. We're always glad to have y'all. And we actually tricked them this morning. We didn't have Second Sunday brunch, but they're here anyways. Anyways, I'd sent the wrong Adam a text early this morning. But anyways, glad y'all are here. And then the Barnett Farm, Ranch, whatever y'all call that, has their guys with them this morning. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Now, I don't speak much Spanish. Other than taco, enchilada, burrito, that's all I can say. So hopefully Will can help translate some of the stuff that's going on. But thank you all for coming today. We're praying for you all. Thank you. And then we have, he's not a guest, but how many of you know Billy and Carol Walker got a brand new grandbaby girl? Hallelujah. And that baby girl was born on Fort Campbell Boulevard in the back of an ambulance. Amazing story. Maybe Billy will share it a little bit later. But, you know, the Walker girls have always done it their way. So, anyways, just been a great week, hadn't it? Been a great week, hadn't it? All right, I hope you got some scriptures with you. I know there's a lot of different kinds of Bibles today. But if you'd be finding John 15... I want to start there with verse 26 and 27. But Andrew's right. I want to talk to you about the work of the Holy Spirit in witnessing. We're in the second sermon of a series on witnessing. I'm praying that the last 3 months of this year, Second Mile Church would get a breakthrough in witnessing. And by the way, let me say this. This is the greatest time in human history to share your faith. I mean, Jesus is on the way. As we were singing about the trumpet, I was listening. He's coming. And a lot of folks are asking a lot of questions today about just exactly what's going on in the world. And bless God, we got the answer. Amen. And so never been a more important time to share your faith than right now. If you have found John 15 and verse 26, let's honor God's word, if you can, by standing. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 15, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, what will he do? He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. I've got a great couple of friends who just were so instrumental in the great revival that took place in Waynesboro years ago. And I used to call these boys Thunder and Lightning. Thunder is with us today. Jimmy Kelly, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Lord, we come to be thankful this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus this morning is so much more than a babe and a man.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank on the cross, but we're thankful that you did. Lord, we're thankful this morning for the empty tomb. Lord, we're thankful this morning that you're high lifted up, and your word said that you be lifted up.
Yes.
Lord, that you draw people unto yourself, Lord. And you were lifted up on the cross, and you're much higher lifted up this morning. You're in the right hand of the Father. Your spirit is alive and well. Lord, I pray that your spirit would fall here in this place this morning. Lord, I pray that it would fall on me.
Hallelujah.
Lord, Romans 8 and verse 9 says, Lord, if anyone who does not have the Spirit, he is not his. Lord, I pray if there's one this morning that does not have the Spirit on their life, Lord, I pray today would be the day. Lord, I'm so thankful.
Hallelujah.
Down to the bottom of a tree and grab hold of a 40-year-old church, Lord, and that the Spirit is alive and well.
Hallelujah. Y'all need to get to know Jimmy, amen? We were sitting over here just a minute ago, and I said, we were talking about how was I going to motivate and navigate this deal out at Kenwood when we go to two services, and I said, well, I might ask you to go out to Kenwood and preach. You know what he said? I'll go. That's the spirit, amen? So, let me talk to you for the next few minutes about the work of the Holy Spirit in witnessing. Now, the Holy Spirit is kind of the stepchild of the Trinity. He doesn't get near as much press as the Son and the Father. But I want to tell you, anything that God's doing right now in this dispensation is being done by God, the Holy Spirit. Now, we call Him a lot of different things, which tell us a lot about who He is and what He does. He's called the Counselor. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Teacher. He's called a lot of the Helper. He's called a lot of different things. He's called the Truth. But His primary responsibility is to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, to be a witness. And He's hard at it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't get enough credit for everything that He's doing. But in large part, the Holy Spirit is at work this morning, witnessing to the whole world. And you know what He does? He uses other witnesses to get God's work done, to get the work accomplished. And so look at your neighbor and say, you're a witness. And that is exactly right. You're a witness for Jesus or a witness for something else. But having said that, well, let me just put it like this. Now, for you retired folks, I know you're not working for a company anymore. You're not working for a boss right now. But if you're married, you're working for a boss. So, but anyways, let's just say that your boss calls you tomorrow morning and tells you, I am so pleased with your work. I'm so impressed by what you do for our company when you're here. As a matter of fact, I'm so pleased. I want to ask you to come on board with me and become a partner, and you'll help me to accomplish the affairs of the company. What would you be like? Woo-hoo! Would that not thrill y'all? Oh, come on, y'all. Respond! Wouldn't that thrill you? Yeah, you'd be overjoyed. If you could do a backflip, that's what you'd do. On a much higher scale, God has partnered with us. We are His co-workers in the ministry. And we, along with the Holy Spirit, are getting the message of salvation. We're testifying of Jesus in order to exalt Christ so that God might draw lost people to Himself. Hallelujah. That's what this is all about. And God uses the Holy Spirit and He uses us. And so let's take a look at this. This is man. I'm praying somebody get a good dose of Holy Ghost. I can't help it. And that we become witnesses, like we talked about last week. Jesus said, you shall be my... Yeah. So the first thing, the first truth I want us to look at is that the Holy Spirit's... I've already kind of mentioned this, but the Holy Spirit's primary function is to testify of Jesus. There it is right there. Well, it was there anyways. The Holy Spirit's primary function is to testify of Jesus. And let me read it again, verse 26 in chapter 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And then go back to chapter 14 and look at 16 and 17. Chapter 14, that's just one page, y'all. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you. Forever. How long is forever? This mess about losing your salvation, that stands contradictory to what we've just read. You have the Holy Spirit forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Tell somebody, you know him. And so the Holy Spirit's primary function is simply to testify of Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit is at work, and he's witnessing, he's proclaiming the message of Jesus all around the world right now. That's what he's doing. And he brings three things really to the table when he does this. This is how it works. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit brings to the table is what I call comprehension. Let me read, just before I get started on that point, let me read another verse of Scripture. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. If the Holy Spirit is not witnessing to someone that you're talking to about Jesus, you're just casting your pearls before the swine. The Holy Spirit is the one who turns the spiritual light bulb on in someone's mind and heart. And have you ever been talking to somebody and you'll give them some spiritual truth or you'll give them something straight out of the Scriptures and they say, what? What in the world are you talking about? Are you lost? Well, that tells you right then that the Holy Spirit is not wooing and drawing and pulling them. He's not right now. And so it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to give comprehension, to turn that spirit, he's called the Spirit of truth. And he's going to share truth with people in his time. Now, you mean, Brother Cal, not everybody can be saved? You can't be saved unless the Holy Spirit's at work. But here's the mystery. Are you ready for this? You're not ready for this. I can just tell by looking at you, you're not ready for this. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So hallelujah, if you want to hear some spiritual truth and you want to know some spiritual truth, if you want the light bulb to come on, you know what? The Holy Spirit will show up and he'll give you truth. He said he would. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And so as we begin to witness, the Holy Spirit's at work witnessing. And I want to tell you, that's a winning team. Your witness and his witness. Hallelujah. He witnesses and we witness. He testifies and we testify. He will and we will. Amen? Amen. So, comprehension is the first thing he brings to the table. And when the Holy Spirit is at work, bless God, they're going to begin to understand spiritual truth. And then the Holy Spirit kind of piggybacks on that. And you know what the second thing is that he does? Conviction. Conviction. Well, where'd you get that? Well, look at chapter 16, verse 8. And when he has come, who is he? The Holy Spirit. He will convict the world of what? He will convict the world of He will convict the world of
sin
and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And so, once the Holy Spirit begins to comprehend spiritual truth to that one who's lost, he then places that person under conviction. And brothers and sisters, no conviction, no salvation. If you don't understand a little something about sin, you don't know why you need Jesus. And so it is his responsibility to place somebody. That's not the preacher's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to place people under conviction. And then once they get under conviction about their sin, you know, I've told y'all the story about my little granddaughter. You know, we talked about sin and blah, 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 blah. And, oh, yeah, I know sin. And she listed a whole five or six things about what sin really is. And I asked her, I said, honey, are you a sinner? Oh, no. Oh, no, granddaddy. Well, that told me right there the Holy Spirit has not yet brought that truth to her. And so when you're under conviction, though, the next thing that takes place is repentance. Repentance. Y'all, I've talked about repentance until I'm blue in the face. Repentance is basically being so sick and so sorry and so ashamed and so nasty feeling and dirty about our sin is that we don't want to go there anymore. We forsake it. We turn from it and make a spiritual U-turn and turn to Jesus as our only means of salvation. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so, no conviction, no repentance. And no repentance, no salvation. But that's up to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say that, you know, we're talking about revival these days. How many of y'all know that God's doing something with our young people right now? And for those of you that don't know, you need to get out. He's doing something in our nation right now. Not just here, but around the nation through our young people. And he's placing them under conviction. And they're repenting of their sin. And they're coming to Jesus Christ by the droves. Hallelujah. And that's the last thing that the Holy Spirit does in this witnessing encounter. He gives comprehension. He places them under conviction. And then he even gives them commitment. Did you know that the Holy Spirit gives folks the faith that they need to trust Christ? One of our memory verses, I won't ask any of our Good News Club to quote it because we might mess up, but for by grace have you been saved. Through what?
Faith.
It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so once those first two steps have been taken by that lost person, the Holy Spirit even provides the faith and the confidence to trust Christ. And when that happens, you've got a new brother or sister in Christ. Hallelujah. And so there they are, those three great spiritual truths. When the Holy Spirit's at work, he places people under, he turns the light bulb on spiritually. He gives them spiritual truth. And if they don't get it, the Holy Spirit's probably not working yet. And then he places them under conviction. And then that when they fall under conviction about their sin, they repent, and then the Holy Spirit gives them the faith to trust Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what's the primary function of the Holy Spirit?
To
testify of Jesus. Thank you. To testify of Jesus. Here's the second thing, and we'll move quickly now. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, now this is going to upset some of you. But you know what? If somebody doesn't get upset every now and then in a church service in Second Mile Church, I'm not preaching the gospel. Because it confronts us. Here's the second thing. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, you will testify of Jesus. Did you hear that? Look at verse 27 in chapter 15. Let me read it again. And you, say you.
Also
will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And so if the Holy Spirit is in you, you've got the witness of the Holy Spirit, right? And if, let me just say it like this. Now, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That happens at salvation, and he baptizes us into the mystical, marvelous, mighty body of Christ. Let's give him praise for that. And then, but the filling of the Holy Spirit comes on a regular basis, and we're commanded to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And the number one sign that a believer is filled by the Spirit is that they witness of Jesus. And there's a problem right there with the church, because the vast majority of folks in the church, and I'm not just talking about Second Mile, I'm talking about the church, does not testify of Jesus. They don't witness. You know what that tells me? They need a good dose of the filling of the Holy Spirit. They need to be under his control. They need to follow him and do what he's telling them to do. Look at your neighbor and say, Cal's right. It's not Cal, it's the Word of God. It's what's right. So, having said that, you know what I have found out? Billy Walker. We've got poster child A right here. I guarantee you this morning, you're going to hear something about that new grandbaby. You know why? He's proud of that grandbaby. He loves that. He said, I've been praying for a girl, and he got a girl. Here's the deal, y'all. We're going to talk about the people that we love. We are. Can I just tell you, I love y'all, but I'm tired of hearing about all y'all's grandchildren. Y'all hear about mine too, don't you? I've got a great friend in the ministry. He is a wonderful friend in the ministry. Now, he is not Baptist by any stretch of the imagination. He's a full gospel preacher. In other words, he believes in all the gifts. I said all of them. And they do church quite a bit differently than we do church. He's an African-American pastor. It's Bishop Calvin Lockett. And he and I've got his back and he's got mine. I love that brother. You know what, y'all, we got so much we can agree on. We do. As the family of God. And Calvin Lockett, I feel like he's my grandson. He has told me everything about Robbie that you'd ever want to know. He's 14 months old. I know how smart he is. I know the things that Robbie loves to do. Robbie Gordon is his name. And this little grandson of his, Calvin's heart is just enamored with him. And he talks about him. And last week, the boy lives out in Los Angeles with Calvin's family. And I don't know how many times Calvin has gotten on a plane to fly out just to see his grandbaby boy. And I called him last week. He was out in L.A. I said, what are you doing? He said, I've got this grandson. I'm laying in the bed and he's asleep on my chest. And then he sent me another picture of him. And I'll tell you, the kid is a heartbreaker. He is a good-looking little boy. But you know what? The bigger truth is we are going to share with folks about the people that we really do love. What does that say to the church, Second Mile? What does that say to us? If we're not testifying of Jesus on a regular basis, because 85% of the folks out here are unchurched. What does that say about us? You know what it says? We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need a fresh dose of the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on us. And I guarantee you, if you fall in love, aren't you thankful for what Jesus has done for you? Hallelujah. Nobody like him. Nowhere. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he proved it by dying publicly on a cross for all your sin. And then he got up from the grave so that you might live forever with him. Hallelujah. And then he placed his Spirit in you. Glory to God. When are we going to fall in love with Jesus? And if we'll fall in love with Him, guess what you'll do? You'll testify of Him. Just like the Holy Spirit. Well, I could go on with that second point, but we better move to the third, because you do know the Holy Spirit's done here at 10 o'clock, right? Where do we get all this stuff? It must be Baptist stuff. I don't know. But anyways, here's the third thing. And I understand. Well, Brother Cal, I just can't witness because I don't know what to say. Right? Come on. Come on, y'all. Right? I mean, I've heard that many, many times. I just don't know what to say. I don't have the words to say. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit will help you to know what to say. Look at John 14, 26. John 14, 20. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. In the witness and encounter, He's going to give you words of wisdom. He's going to give you spiritual truth. He's going to give you, remember those things that that are really important that you need to share, and He'll give them to you. Amen. Yeah. And then chapter 16, verse 13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He'll speak. And He'll tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. Friend, in the witness and encounter, you don't have to worry and get all tore up and anxious about what am I going to say? The Holy Spirit's going to say it. Where's your faith? God will give you the words to say. He'll speak. And he'll bring up those things that you need to remember. You don't have to. This takes all the pressure off the witness. Oh, y'all, I'm preaching good truth here. There's no pressure on you. That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to give you the words to say. Now, I believe it's in Luke 21. But we're not going to go there. Let me just tell you what it says. You can have confidence, even in the last days, that you'll be able to speak truth, testify and witness of Jesus, even in the face of opposition. That's a mouthful. Do I need to say that again? In the last days, Luke 21, I believe it's 10 through 15, says that even in the last days, you can have all the confidence in the world that you can testify of Jesus and speak words of wisdom, and the things that come out of your mouth will confound and confront even those folks who don't think and believe like you do. Is that not a timely word for us today? Now, I know. Preachers have a little bit more opportunity to speak to larger groups. I get that. But you know what? I have been amazed at the things that have come out of my mouth. People will tell me things that I said at a funeral, at a graduation, things that I have prayed at the city council meetings. And Bill Powers, every now and then, he'll call me to come and pray over the state senators on the Senate floor up in Nashville at Capitol Hill. Amen. And people will tell me things that I said, and I get kind of like Stephen Urkel. Did I do that? I don't even remember saying those things. Why is that? It's because the Spirit of the living God that lives in me speaks through me, for me, and to me. Are y'all with me? Yeah. So this takes all the pressure off the witnesser, off the witnessing one. You don't have to worry about what to say. He's going to give you the words to say. Now, you better have a story to tell. Hello? That's the problem right there. A lot of church members are lost, and they don't have a story to tell. But all you got to do is just tell somebody, man, how you realized you needed Jesus, how you came to Jesus, and what Jesus is doing now.
Amen.
That's it. Nobody can argue with that.
Amen.
And he'll give you spiritual truth. I was at the Senate floor. This has been a couple years ago. And I opened in prayer, and the speaker of the house, whoever the big dog speaker is, called me up. And then Bill introduced me. And he said, Cal and I grew up together. We were Boy Scouts together, went to school together, blah, 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 blah. And then he gave me the microphone, and I got to pray over all those senators. And I was a little bit nervous, I'll just be honest. But I don't even remember what I said. But after the prayer, I stepped down, gave the mic back to Bill Powers, Senator Powers, and I walked it to the back of the room because I wanted to hear what was going to happen that day. They were voting on some stuff, and so I wanted to be there. And I get around towards the back, and these two African-American brothers looked at me, and they said, "You must be one of those Baptist hellfire and brimstone preachers." You know what I did? I threw up both hands. I said, "Hallelujah." And it tore them all to pieces. I thought we were going to have church right there. God will use you. He'll give you the words to say. You won't have to worry about it. That's what he's responsible for. So, how do I close this, Father? Here's the deal. If you're filled by the Spirit of God, you have an understanding this morning. It is your responsibility to testify of Jesus.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit's already doing it with you. We're partners with Him, co-workers. And if you're not doing that, and you know you're a believer, this morning you need to ask God to fill you with His Spirit. And you need to fall head over heels in love with Jesus. Because we're going to talk about and speak about the people that we love. Right? And so I hope we have an altar full of folks this morning. What would it be like if every believer within the sound of my voice testified of Jesus and became a witness this week? We couldn't get them all in here. But that's what we're supposed to do, brothers and sisters. Now, you may not have come looking for an in-your-face confrontational sermon like this is today, but I've given you truth. Do you know why? Because the Spirit of truth lives in me. And you've got the truth right in front of you. Father, this is your time, not mine. I pray, God, that you would bless this time of decision, this time of counsel, this time of prayer, this time of commitment. God, that you would move and that you would speak loudly. Help us to fall more in love with Jesus than we ever have been before. Oh, please, God, so that we might meet people in heaven and they'll walk up to us. Thank you for sharing with me. I'm here because you were a witness. Oh, God, help us this morning. Now, I do want to say, if you're not absolutely sure you're on your way to heaven, if you were to die when you left here and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, here's the deal. Your sins have separated you from God. We're all in that boat. And God's holy and righteous, and He has to punish sin. And if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be punished. You're going to pay the penalty for your sins for all of eternity. But Jesus came because He loved you and still does. And He paid the price. He laid His life down so that you could be forgiven of all your sin. And He died. And He was buried. And 3 days later, He got up from the grave. And he is alive this morning. He's a witness to us that Jesus not only gives new life, he changes lives. And if you would call on him as your only means of salvation today, he will save you. And when you do, you'll walk out of here saved. And we want to know who you are if you do that. If you do pray to receive Christ today, the war room will be open. We'll have counselors back there in the back. Or you can come to this altar. There'll be counselors up here. We want to pray over you and thank God for you. But I think the vast majority of folks in here need to be a witness. You are saved, but you're not filled by the Spirit of God. And you need to fall more deeply in love with Jesus. And not only that's between you and him. And I ask you to just come as a form of accountability today. God's calling you to do that. Don't sit there in your seat. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Father, this is your time. Yours and yours alone. You're the one who convicts, not me. You are. So I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts today about this most important issue. That's why we're still here, is to share Jesus. Move in this place now. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please quietly and reverently stand to your feet. We're going to sing, and you come right now. Don't wait. Just come on. If you need prayer, that's right. Just step out and come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.